Okay, welcome to the first 2025 Lodging Tax Advisory Committee meeting. I am so grateful to everyone in this room and those who have been participating in this. This is a heavy lift, and I know it's a heavy lift, so I really want to tell you how much in advance I appreciate you being here and all your work. So we'll call this meeting to order officially at 2:02. What's not on the agenda, but we're going to do is introductions. And because we have a new member, I want Paul, were you on it last year?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we have a new member. I want to make sure that we do introductions. So I will have Hannah introduce herself. And then if you can say something about yourself, where you're from, what region, how you fit on this committee, that'd be great. So Hannah, why don't you go ahead?
Absolutely. So thanks for having me, everyone. My name is Hannah Bates, and I work for Washington State Parks and Recreation. I am the Salish Foothills area manager. So my area, oh,
It doesn't matter.
It's actually better to talk a little further away
Oh,
from it, or
okay.
it sounds like it cuts out, but the sound is fine.
Good to know. Thank you. So I'm the Salish Foothills area manager. So my area includes Camino Island State Park, Kama Beach State Park on Camino Island, part of Island County, as well as some other parks, Bayview State Park, Raysar and Rockport and Skagit. So I was asked to be on this advisory committee because we formerly had members from my park area. Bob Chalfant, I believe, was the last member to sit on this committee. And so I was super honored to get an invite and just really glad to be here. I'm originally from the East Coast, but I moved to Washington back in 2021 and I'm just in heaven here. It's amazing. So, and then I
Welcome.
started this position as the area manager in October of 2024. So still relatively new.
Great. How was it?
Where are you from in the East Coast?
I'm from the very southern tip of Virginia, called Virginia Beach,
Oh,
right
yes.
on the North Carolina line. And
Very familiar to those
yeah.
of us because it was the Island Naval Air Station.
I'm ecstatic to find that
Yeah. Yeah. So my mom was in the Air Force and was
Good
stationed
girl.
in Norfolk for a while and just fell in love with that area. And so I was born and raised there.
That's excellent.
Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you.
Barry,
Hi.
go ahead, introduce
Oh,
yourself,
I'm
though.
Barry Wenis, and I represent the north end of the island, basically, Oak Harbor area. I work on the south end of the island. I'm still working at assisted living in Freeland, and this is what, my 5th year, or something.
I think more than that.
Is it? It's been a while. I've gotten a lot older.
County work will do that to you.
Yeah, they
Michael.
I'm also from Virginia, but Shenandoah County.
I went to Bridgewater College, so I'm very,
Oh,
very familiar with
yeah.
Shenandoah.
Grew up in DC and Virginia, so I have mixed backgrounds, city and country. I think I'm on the committee because I was part of an organization that receives funding
That's
from
right.
the LTAC. And so it isn't a geographical group. That organization, well, it would have been more than one. The Island County Historical Society and the Penco Water Festival. And I actually have had to, I'm retiring from retirement. So I've the organizations. And a lot, and it came in just in time with health issues in my family, myself and my spouse. So I'll be moving on at some point this year, and I assume there's going to be a replacement in the works for me, but
Do you
I'm
want
sure.
to resign this seat at the end of our process of choosing applications or at the beginning? Because we can do it either way.
When I had spoken to Melanie, I said I would stay as long as you need a quorum, and then I would leave because Jim was just in the hospital for about 5 days, and I'm doing nursing duty, and I have my own issues that I'm dealing with too, and so
We currently have five members with Hannah joining it and yourself, so and we need four for quorum.
yeah.
So technically,
We have one opening.
we have We'll have two if Mr. Ferry leaves.
Right. He's still currently on the board,
right,
on the committee. We have one opening, which we are doing. I'm working outreach with Commissioner Bacon on doing outreach and trying to get that filled ASAP to join us. So if you wouldn't mind staying, and then if we need you for quorum, we'll certainly call on you for now.
Okay.
Unless we have an immediate recommendation, I'll talk to Commissioner Bacon for someone who is right. A recipient of.
Well, I am assuming that there would be a replacement sometime within a reasonable time, and I'll stay around for that.
Okay. Weren't sure, so I hadn't done any active recruitment right. for your position. You know, it's this sticky wicket that I can't talk to Jill or Melanie without it being an open public meeting.
Right.
So I was waiting for us to hear directly from you. And okay. We'll begin recruitment then for that and okay, let you know. Good.
And okay. Do you know of anyone from any of those organizations yeah. you were previously a member of who might be a good candidate?
Oh, okay.
Feel free to invite them to apply. Feel free to reach out as well or let us know and we can do that.
Sure. I will indeed do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Recipient of, I believe, Paul, that you represent the seat that is a recipient of our funding. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Camino okay. Island Chamber of Commerce.
All right. Why don't you introduce yourself then?
Thank you, Commissioner St. Clair. Yes, my name is Paul Foster. I do represent the Camino Chamber of Commerce, Camino Island Chamber of Commerce. I have the privilege, like a number of you, of being retired. I used to be a medical executive with the Kaiser Permanente Medical Care Program in Southern California. I also had the privilege of serving as a council member and mayor of my community for 11 years. Retired here to the Pacific Northwest and love being up here. And it's been a pleasure to serve on this committee last year. I look forward to doing so again this year.
Thank you. Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It was good to see you back in the chair, Jill.
Janet,
sorry. So I represent South Whidbey Tourism. I am the owner of Kettrick Cottage of Langley. I contribute funds to the LTAC, and I am no longer on the Langley Chamber of Commerce board or a member of the Langley Chamber of Commerce.
So you are holding a seat for those who generate the lodging tax funding.
Correct.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
And I'm Janet St. Clair. I chaired this 2-3 years ago group, and I actually really enjoyed it. It's a very interesting thing. So I want to welcome all of you and appreciate your service. This is an important part of how we promote tourism and try to wisely invest those dollars. I did want to begin... before we got to discussion changes, you can tell Layla tries to script me and then fails. I really want to ask, I will be doing a training, Layla and I will be doing a training with Hannah as a new member. And if we bring anyone else on from the prospects that Commissioner Bacon has been looking at and I've been talking about for Central Whidbey, is there anyone else who would like to be part of that training that we're going to do? We're basically go over the RCW. What is the 2% sales tax? What is it authorized to be spent on? What are the recent changes that happened with it? Because there was legislation in 2022 or 2023 that made some changes to it. So we're going to just do a training on it. And before I scheduled that, I wanted to see if anyone else was interested in that as a refresher. All right, hearing none, and we'll plan that for Hannah and the new members in the near future. We will plan it probably just because my brain does well if I put everything in one place. So we'll probably start a meeting early, do a half an hour training about this, and then move into the meeting. And of course, anybody is welcome to join us if they want to come back and hear more about that. So that takes us to the committee discussion on changes to the grant. And so I'd ask you to open up your application for 2025 funding and see if there are any suggestions.
Commissioner St. Clair?
Yes.
I do remember at the end of our meeting last year, one of the departing members, as I recall, and forgive me for not recalling her name, suggested that an additional question be included about the number of volunteer hours that these applicants create. I don't know if my colleagues remember that discussion or not.
Was that Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like something Robin would recommend. Go ahead.
I just throw it out there as a reminder for us that that did come up. That sounded like a reasonable request.
I agree with him. I think that so we know what the community is doing with these.
So to add into one of the questions,
can we put it into one of these others?
Scope of work, visitor draw. Anyways.
That fall into in-kind donation?
Innovative.
It could, Tom, I agree, very possibly.
Put it in with the in-kind, are you receiving in-kind donations? Also saying we're getting this many volunteer hours, and I pulled to that.
Yeah.
Where's the in-kind donation?
I don't remember where that was.
Tom, where did you see the in-kind donation?
I can't tell you specifically where it is, but it's been in the past.
So nonprofits, state certificate, articles, approved budget, copy of meeting minutes, list of board. Okay, so I would say in the nonprofits, it could be in both, that we add a item F of a number of volunteer hours. And I agree, because the way we used to do that when I was running nonprofits is we would calculate our volunteer hours, and then there's a standard by which you can say that's the hourly rate. Usually we used in the United Way rate, or there are other places you can go to. GuideStar has that. And that gives you a dollar value. That's a good suggestion. Mm-hmm. So Tom, I hear you saying I put it in item number 19, required attachments, and added as F for number of volunteers and volunteer hours.
Sounds good.
Yeah, makes sense.
Any other changes that you would suggest?
I just have one.
Yes, sir.
It's more of a, I guess, something to redo that will help people, help us as we do the evaluation. We get this long sheet, and the numbers here don't always, they don't rock, is the old word from the 70s, with what's on the sheet, so that the questions here then get renumbered on the sheet. And so in referring back to them, which you have to do to kind of remind yourself of what that information that's needed. If you could do that, it would make the bookkeeping part of it much easier for us.
I remember you referenced that as having the numbers on the scoring sheet and the numbers on the questions sync up.
Right. When I was very new first time, that threw me off.
I
kept on going back and forth, and it was like, you know, I was using a lot of time. And I'd appreciate that personally. Thank you.
That would be great. The older we get, the more help we need.
Both. Thank you, but I was
I can.
So we now have tourism event or festival, tourism facilities operations grants, tourism facilities capital grant for publicly owned facilities only, and then it was the three categories of construction, improvement, and renovation. Any changes to that? That's what's allowable and how we've been structuring it.
Any need for a change on that?
Okay. Number four is just date, you know, information, contact person. And number five, I just want to bring to your attention that we quote the RCW. The strategies are to create and lengthen overnight stays in line with the RCW. So just as a reminder, we're asking not that did, well, it's actually over 50 miles. If I came over to Whidbey Island, just saying, to spend the night because I had to work two nights, I actually meet the criteria. But really, you're not meant to be doing that. It is really meant if we're drawing folks from Eastern Washington, from Whatcom, from King County, from Clark County, we get visitors from all over the world in our county. So the goal is, do you think this will draw folks from farther away? A couple of great examples are the Penn Cove Water Festival. People come from the Puget Sound, right, King County metro area for that. Blast Quest. These are projects we've funded in the past, and it does draw people up, hopefully then for an overnight stay, that they're staying in a local motel. But as you guys may know, and if you want the data on this from the Dean Runyon reports, the majority of our overnight stays are now in Airbnbs. So it's different than when we started this a long time ago, where we had people staying at the Langley Inn,
right,
or the cottages, or it's shifted, but these are still overnight stays in our community. So just a reminder of that. So then we ask about the organization's mission and activities. Seems fairly straightforward. Any changes? Okay.
And these are actually paid overnight stays.
Yeah. Paid overnight stays, not did you go up and see Grandma Janet?
Right.
I have a whole playroom that gets used twice a year. My husband keeps reminding me why we're using that space for a playroom. Grandma Janet needs more visitors, if there's any of my family listening to this.
And Grandma Janet is supporting tourism with her room.
No. But just since we're off topic, I am a great grandmother now. My oldest grandchild, who is one of my foster children's daughter, so I've been a foster grandma for many years. She had a baby last week. So now I am a great grandma. So
congratulations.
So project description. Again, we have this character limit. You guys don't want to have some, but you know.
Yeah.
It just keeps it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is significant. I also want to point out now the points. That is a 10-point item.
Is that where the points start? Is this specific question?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It does, but you will find yourself biased by the clarity and the ability of the folks applying to follow directions.
But well, that's part of the reason why I'm saying
the points actually start there, but yeah, we do encourage our applicants to follow directions.
We were moving toward a fillable PDF. Has that made any progress?
Yeah, at least.
The application is currently a fillable PDF and was for last year's applicants. Some people converted the PDF to Word documents, and in that case, I went through them, highlighted the section to the number of characters that would have been allowable on the PDF, and then just did a strike through for any words that were over that character limit. Mm. I am encouraging applicants to use the fillable PDF and not convert it.
Do we have authority to require the fillable PDF?
Yes.
Does this board want to require the fillable PDF as how they apply and not allow them to convert and turn it back into a Word document?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Agreed. That informational sheets above it, I can insert that into that section.
And I would encourage us, because this is the first year we're requiring it, to be flexible enough to not just slap their hand, but actually give them the opportunity to resubmit it in a PDF. Yeah,
it only becomes a problem for the folks that are submitting at the
11th hour.
At the 11th hour. But yeah, so this is a fillable PDF. So those character limits are set on the box that gets filled, and then they just have to stop typing when they reach that limit. So it's all set to go with any edits that you all decide to make today. It is set to go. I just need to update the year and add any updates, but right, the fillable part of it is good to go. Hopefully someday we can do it as just a full online submittal, but we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, fair. Would you please put in bold that you must submit it in the PDF format and make sure it's in our explanations. Tell them twice.
Absolutely. I will put it in there more than once.
And maybe that will cut down on the things where they send the same thing every year. same wording.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not. It's still going to be cut and paste. Scope of work. We ask about the duration and dates of the event, the activity, or the program. So I'll use a newcomer to the county as an example. So say the YMCA at Fort Casey decides they want to host a science weekend because this is only, I'm riffing off the news. They got the new C-Lab is back open, so it's kind of exciting. They would have to talk about when that C-Lab activity, what, who they're drawing. So any changes if to the first part, which is event, activity, or program, and then I'll go into the second. Any change? I got to quit talking into the mic. Any changes?
No.
Okay. For publicly owned tourism facilities, describe capital improvements to be proposed. That seems self-explanatory. And the involvement or use of other local businesses and organizations was the final sentence. Any changes to that section?
No.
Okay. Visitor draw. That's been a standard for a long time. Any changes?
No.
Okay. Countywide benefit, broad tourism benefits such as all of Whidbey Island or all of Camano Island, or in some cases, all of Island County. I would reference that we might want to have a countywide sentence in there that does this have broad tourism. So say it was a, you know, there was an application we had 1 year, which was recommending bike routes across Whidbey, across North Whidbey, and on Camano, so it had countywide benefit. Anybody agree with me that we should have them specify if it's countywide as well?
It's reasonable.
I do. Yeah.
Okay, Tom?
Well, it does show countywide benefit under the fourth item. Is that what you're referring to?
I'm on number 10.
Oh, I see. Okay, I understand. I agree.
Okay.
I'm hoping that no one would be... say, like, for instance, if the activity is just on Camano or just on Whidbey, I always felt bad, you know, penalizing them for just one area. I mean, you can't always provide that.
No. I mean, it's like if it was countywide, I mean, you could think you're all going to apply your own points countywide, but it has minimal benefit, may not be the same as countywide, but it has maximum benefit. You have flexibility in how you apply your points. That's, I mean, we can talk more about that as we go, but if I had a county, let's use Soundwaters University, that's countywide, right?
Yeah.
But it's a one-day university. If there was a countywide event that had a five-day impact, drawing visitors to our island for 5 days, I can't think of anything off my head, that would have a broader countywide benefit. If it's all of Camano Island, like the Mother's Day Art Sale, that has all of Camano, but doesn't really benefit Whidbey. The Whidbey Island has many things that benefit all of Whidbey Island, let's say the marathon. So those are all ways to think about that. And I trust your discretion on figuring out how you apply your points. Any questions on that? No questions? All right, number 11, community assets. Mm-hmm. Does your project distinguish and promote the unique aspects of Island County? Do aspects include items of historical, cultural, or natural amenities? That word is new to me. Was that something that came in the last couple of years? What does that mean? Just somebody tell me what that means to you, because I don't know what we mean by natural amenities.
Like shoreline, hiking.
I associate it as benefits. Like, do the aspects include items such as historical, cultural, or natural benefits? Like, that's the way I read it.
Like nature?
Yes, outdoors.
So
yeah.
Like this person can spend time in these outdoor environments, and that would be like a natural benefit or a natural amenity provided. historical. They might get to see something that's only found here because it has historical significance, or same thing for cultural.
Okay.
That's at least the way I interpret it.
Yeah, and a good example is the Price Sculpture Garden, because it's
a great thing. Example.
Yeah, that's
That's a great example. Okay. Yeah. Any changes to that? Thank you for reminding me.
No. Nope.
All right. Yes, Tom.
Now, would it be helpful to have in a lot of these grant applications I worked on, there's a definitions page. Would that be worth pursuing?
There is in the packet of the request for proposals package has definitions.
So in the
that goes in front of the application and gets sent out to all applicants. It has a lot of basic information in it.
So maybe you could add.
I could add a definition for
amenities.
For amenities to that, easy enough.
Okay. Just because Jana, you know, and I live here and work here.
Really quick before we move forward.
Uh-huh.
So the one thing about community assets, looking at the point totals, that's a pretty significant point total for 25 points for only 1,500 characters. How did you all, just because I'm new to your application, how did you come up with how many points per question? So what was it about that question that you all wanted to add?
I can also increase the character limit.
Well, I just was curious about, like, this is a lot of weight for that particular question. And so I was wondering just kind of how that criteria was established.
Didn't we run into a problem with that last year where we were pulling some things because people were not putting it together? Seemed like there was I should get my book out. But.
So for those of you who've been around, Tom and Barry, how would you, if asked, justify that the visitor draw of bringing people in from 50 miles away is a max of 15 points, but the promotion of community assets is a max of 25 points? I'm asking you two as the longest members, how would you explain or defend that, or is it time to think about it?
The point system has evolved over the past decade, and we actually may or may not remember we hired a consultant a few years back to do a complete study of the process and the questionnaires and the application, and we came up with a redistribution of points, and then the following year we redistributed those points. So it's changed virtually every time I've been on this committee, but and it's up to this committee to decide how many points are allocated. We can change that anytime we want.
You can also increase if you feel like you want to give people more space to discuss that. I can increase that character limit with one click. So.
To make it 2,000. Tom, do you still feel like it's valid that it's worth 10 more points? I'm wondering if it aligned a little bit, because I wasn't with you guys for when we were investing in regenerative tourism as a way to promote the natural beauty of the islands and so forth. Maybe that's why we gave it more points.
It's a byproduct of regenerative tourism, because we couldn't really define what regenerative tourism was as applicable to this.
Fair.
And there is a regenerative tourism question at the end.
Okay.
Right.
We'll get to that. Do you guys think it should be 25 points, or do you have a difference of opinion on that, or where are you today?
It's pretty heavily weighted there. I would prefer to see more points allocated to actual night stays, room night stays, we're looking for a return on investment. So I think more points should go toward documenting stays rather than this particular one.
I think this was one of our issues last year, this point right here. We were torn with that one.
I would then take us back to question number, and maybe split the difference. The visitor draw, and maybe it's just a suggestion, so do not just, honestly, but take number 9, bump that up to 20 points, the visitor draw, and drop this one down to 20 points.
That's fine with me.
That's fine.
And you want to increase the character limit for?
You want to increase it to 2,000 characters?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I think more information, the better.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're the ones who have to read it.
True.
All right. I like that, but it's, you're the lodging committee. You're the advisory committee. I like the 2020.
Yeah.
We do have the economic question as well that makes you justify your ROI. Innovative and shoulder season focus. We gave 5 points to something new, but really we've always tried to encourage shoulder season visits, and that's 15 points. Any changes to that section?
Well, the RCW mandates it be shoulder season.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Say that again, Tom, because I'm refreshing mine. It does say shoulder season gets...
This one was developed because we need tourism in off-season, shoulder season, so it does not apply to 4th of July events because that's not shoulder season.
So we should not, or could... I'm going to ask this question. Have we funded events in the high season?
Very rarely.
That's why I'm asking this question. Last year, we used this fund to fund, to add a 4th of July funding. And I'm hearing you suggest, Tom, that is not eligible for funding under this particular source of funding.
I think that was created as a one-off. It was a special circumstance created by the board. Not by LTAC.
I just want to make sure it was created by the board as a special one-off opportunity. I want to make sure if we create future special one-off opportunities, they're in compliance with the RCW. That's my question. And I don't have my computer in front of me, so I can't Google the RCW.
Yeah, that event was such a huge success. It's hard to argue that it's not worth
100%, yeah.
So, we can definitely justify heads in beds with events like that, but the RCW does say shoulder season.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to...
And it doesn't exclude...
Does it exclude high season? That's my question.
No, I don't think so.
It didn't seem to.
No.
The word exclude is not present.
Then yeah. I'm a rule follower. I'm that person. So I just want to make sure we're following the rules. I'd like to leave that flexibility because it is. 4th of July is a huge deal. So
yeah, I think, Janet, I think that one of the problems last year was for the organizations that were promoting or going to have the 4th of July event, their requests were so significantly above the funding amounts that we just couldn't fund them. And so the 4th of July events kind of fell out. It's simply because of the logic of the money that we had and how far it would go. Okay. I don't think it was about they weren't worth doing.
Okay. And then the board said, well, gosh, gee, we want to at least support that. So we added that. Okay. Thank you for the clarification. It's hard coming back after 2 years. Thank you.
You bet.
I have RCW, and it doesn't say that it has to be shoulder.
It just wants to incentivize shoulder.
You can favor the shoulder, the on shoulder, but non-shoulder events are still tourist attractions, whether we, you know, they're no matter when they are.
Right, but we don't need to promote them because we're already full.
What does that mean?
My occupancy non-shoulder season is maxed. I don't need to promote my non-off-season shoulder season.
You aren't the only one who's filling things up. There are other organizations.
No, I'm just saying typically in the tourism industry, tourism facilities, hotels, motels, Airbnbs, they all are full during peak season.
I hear you. And I think the issue is that it's used to help support the events.
I agree, Janet. I think that's well said.
So we do want to support the heads and beds. This is also supporting tourism events, which is why I think Commissioner Johnson wanted to bring forward the 4th of July funding last year, was to support the event, especially at a time in which we were changing the rules. All right, we're on to number 13, which is the project evaluation. It's 20 points. We ask for performance measures, surveys, tools. How do you measure and know that your event provided attendance data or reporting? So the PBY Museum has a sign-in log where people sign in and then they put where they're from. So that's an example. There's many different kinds of examples.
Yeah. So this is an area where last year and actually the past couple of years, we've been trying to tie the data set, the statistics from the Island County Tourism Board's data, including Runyon, et cetera, mm-hmm. to actually find hard data to pin down precise room nights, precise stays, precise locations. And we're now able to do that with the software that the county purchased and the city purchased.
The Datafy software?
Yeah. We can tell where somebody bought lunch, spent the night, went to the theater. We know exactly where their credit card was at all times.
Do the people who are applying for this money, because I just got the most recent Datafy report from Inga.
Yeah.
And it does give me like hot spots of all this kind of stuff. So it is good data. But do the people applying know that?
Well, the discussion was that we give them access to this data.
Oh.
So they can, that helps them justify the heads and beds, because otherwise it's very difficult.
How do you figure out which individual people, where they're actually going to stay? I mean, if they go over to the museum in Oak Harbor and they're counted on their sign-in sheet, they come down to Coopville, they're counted in our sheets. So, I mean, you're...
How are you not?
You say, now, did you hear about us through the museum over there? Or did you know it was definitely the Coopville Museum? In other words, some of these heads and beds are going to be shared among
multiple entities.
So I mean, sure. it's interesting to see where people end up, but who gets the credit? I mean, that's...
I haven't dug into the data because I literally got it this week enough to know. I think it needs good information.
It's a great support system, and it's better than nothing.
It is. I don't know that we have enough time to evaluate it to make it the only source of data, but I do agree that maybe, I don't know who owns that data, and so I have to ask a question, but if it is open public domain data, then I see nothing wrong with providing a link to that data in their report so they have access to it if they want to use that as a way to justify.
Yeah, actually last year Inga was able to offer it to anyone that wanted it through the county tourism board because it's licensed to the county, so she offered it to anyone.
Well, my point is if there's a link that we can offer it, rather than it having to go through Inga or anybody else, this is our process at LTAC. So
yeah.
I'm suggesting that we just attach the link into our submission request for proposals.
Yeah, if that's possible, that'd be great.
But it can't be the definitive.
No, I hear you.
Point to one, say, well, we have more than you do or whatever. It's just...
Yeah. I hear you saying we want to still let people tell their own story, but they can have access to this data in order to tell their story if they choose to use it.
And I want to support that view as well. I don't think that statistical set of information can be the determinant factor in our decision making.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Barry, you agree?
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's good. I like the idea of providing it as a source of information for folks. I found it fascinating, but I only just began to dive into it this week. All right, community economic impact, measurable economic value, specific and comprehensive strategies to leverage the 2% funds to benefit our local economy. That's 30 points. That's the big deal.
Yeah.
That's the big kahuna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a lot of collateral data available to measure economic impact to the community. When someone stays at our inn, we can virtually measure what restaurants they go to, what museums they visit, what theater they attend. You know, so that's one aspect.
Yeah, and I think encouraging people to think about it from how do you measure your value? But we've never been that prescriptive of asking them to measure it with any one tool thus far.
Correct.
Okay. So that's 14. And then we're into regenerative tourism, which there was some confusion this year as to whether JAB was still doing regenerative tourism or not. I met with them recently, and they are continuing to do regenerative tourism through Embrace Whidbey. That was good news. Different cohorts across the counties have, one of the chambers have then created mentors, and they've gone out and done their own training of others to what is regenerative tourism. I would, just for my shorthand for those, because you look a little bewildered, is regenerative tourism is how do we promote tourism that is a light touch on our islands.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. The idea is not that we want hordes of people to come and Skagit Valley, this is a big issue. We don't want them to come, park on the sides of the road, block traffic, and stomp all over the tulip fields. That's not the goal. and it happens because that's my commute every day. So the idea is how do we encourage people to come? Maybe it's how do we encourage carpooling? How do we encourage them to take advantage of our transit system so that we reduce traffic? How do we, you know, they could come onto the island, pick up, I'm going to use my island, so they can come in, they can park at the park and ride at Terry's Corner, they can take advantage of what's there with the food. Then we often will have our tours with transit buses or others that take them around so that if you're going up into a neighborhood to visit an art gallery, you don't have 25 cars parking in a cul-de-sac. So it's trying to create that light touch tourism. On Whidbey, we have a lot of one of the things this group funded years ago was getting to the water's edge, where within the guidebook was, you know, what is the capacity of that access point to the water so that people didn't arrive thinking they could just park in somebody's driveway to get down to that 4 feet of access to the beach that opens up, or reminding people that are going up to Moran Beach, where it gets very crowded in the summers, to plan ahead and be respectful of the neighbors. So light touch tourism is lighter touch on the environment, lighter touch on the communities. I can't remember who was saying in their neighborhood, lots of Airbnbs, Deer Lagoon. Who was it that was talking about living in Deer Lagoon? Oh, somebody else I was talking to earlier today. And he said, you know, it's an issue to my neighborhood. So how do we encourage, you know, people when they come and take advantage of our Airbnbs to recognize that you're in a neighborhood? So be part of that neighborhood and, you know, whatever. It's the idea that you are trying to prevent or reduce a negative impact of tourism. We want people to come and be part of our community, not take advantage of our community.
And I remember when we were on the foundation, when I was on the foundation for Deception Baths.
Yeah.
State Park and the issues we had there. And sometimes you can't even get through. It's dangerous coming through that way because they're parked right all the way through there, as you will see. And so that, this would be.
Yeah. So that's, I'm assuming we want to continue that was an extra credit. That was 5 extra credit points.
Right.
And can document that. I could that,
so that's a bonus that's not a part of the 100% number.
That's just extra credit.
Right.
Bonus number. We're all good with that?
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, then there's the budget line item. I'd like to remind our applicants in our thing that when you're applying, put into your budget everything you think you'll charge to that line item, because any charges that aren't in your proposed budget will be denied by the county for auditing purposes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't say Barry applied to have an event and then bought a tour bus with it to take people all over. We're not paying for your tour bus, Barry.
Yeah. As I threw my fart.
Yeah. Well, okay, we're not paying for your tractor.
Okay. Your blades.
So I do want to have some clarifying language. Maybe talk to Jen about. Please be as explicit as possible in your budget, because if it's not in the proposal, the charge line.
Yeah, and we've had that conversation, but for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want blank. When you see blanks, and then they're saying, "Oh, by the way, we need such and such." Well, you didn't sort it down there to let us know that's what you need. So you can't have it.
Yeah, we've had to have that conversation with applicants.
Okay.
They've submitted for something, and we've gone through, because I go through every time I get an invoice, I go through their budget and make sure that what they're billing aligns with their budget, and I've had to say no if it's something that's just outside the scope that they submitted.
That would be an audit finding on us if the SAO ever caught us paying for something that wasn't in these applications. That could be an audit finding. Cash flow requirements, be explicit as possible. I don't think anything changes there. Timeline. Any changes there?
No.
Nope.
All right. We're going to get through this. 10 minutes. We talked about required attachment. We're going to add item number F for number of volunteers and number of volunteer hours. We accept applications for C3s, C4s, or C6s. Just that's clear in our things. And if anybody needs to know what those are, please let me know. The section on cooperative projects was new to me. Is it new to you? That must have been something you did under Melanie's leadership. Unless, Tom, I'm remembering wrong. Or Barry.
Mm-hmm. No, we've always had something similar to a co-op project. There are joint venture projects.
Okay, so this is a way in which we just are very explicit that you can apply for a joint program, just be and add that in your required attachments.
Right.
And then we talk about what we have to report to the state. That's not changeable. That's JLARC reporting we have to do every year.
And as an update for you, Commissioner St. Clair, last year we made it very clear in this packet, as well as in other information we sent out, that your application will not be reviewed if you have not completed those numbers.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they have to be there to have for comparison when they turn in
the final
numbers. Mm-hmm. So that's been made very explicit in all of the documentation that if they do not fill out those numbers on the back page, their application will not be reviewed. And people were really good about it. We had a couple people who just forgot and filled it out and sent it to us right away. So it hasn't been an issue, but I just wanted you to know that's been an update since you last.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's an important thing, because I mean, that's one of the things I look at to make, you know, my sort of subjective opinion. Judgment.
All right. I don't see any. Our agenda for today was really to go over this application. For your reference, we'll open the application July 1st. It's month open. We'll put lots of social media and communications out in advance of that so that people are prepared for it. August 12th, we all come back together. And we begin our review process.
Yeah, that's when we, that's the deadline for us to get you your application books.
Okay.
Is the 12th.
You want your old books back so we can recycle them?
Yes. No, please bring them back if you have them.
Yeah, oh, great. If you have your, just bring them by whenever you have time. Okay. By the office, we can reuse those.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Presentations. Hey, Tom, do you remember when I presented on getting to the water's edge?
I do. That was a great presentation.
Well, thank you. That was my first touch to LTAC.
That should have qualified you for national office.
I think I'll pass on that. Remember, I'm a great grandmother now. I'm just getting too old. September 9th. And then it goes to the board in September, and that's our schedule. And if the board accepts, just as a reminder, and correct me if I'm wrong, if the board accepts your recommendations, it goes forward as an action item for a board meeting. If the board wants to send it back to you to take a look at something, as we've had to do in the past, it may come back and there'll be one other meeting for you to take what the board says into consideration, and then it comes back for final action. There are sort of two pathways there.
Do we have any idea about how much money we're going to be dealing with?
We don't. The board meets. I'll get up to a mic.
Oh.
The board, it's on the agenda to go to work session for the board to discuss the funding. It's going to be the second week in June. It's in June. That's when it's supposed to be. That's the timeline.
We're getting an update on the funds available, but I don't think we're making the decision till June.
Right, you're making the decision in June. Exactly. That's when the work session happens, where you determine how much you want to release, how you want that to be divided up, whatever else you want to decide. We get those numbers to y'all, so you have an idea what the total budget is before we.
Last year we had no problem.
Yeah, there was a
big problem.
There was a big over ask.
Yeah.
Oh, big time. Big time.
You guys did a Herculean effort to get those numbers in line.
That was really a bad one, wasn't it, Paul?
Yes, it was.
And we're still doing the capital improvement separate budget?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. There's the tourism event or festival is one budget. Tourism facility operations is a budget. Tourism facilities capital grant is a separate one.
Right.
Commissioner St. Clair, the only additional comment I would make was, one of the things that, as I mentioned earlier, that made that so challenging last year were the requests for the 4th of July celebrations. As the board discusses the amounts and how they'll be divided into the respective categories, perhaps a discussion about whether or not what you all want to do with requests specifically for the 4th of July. If that amount of money, should you want to do that, could be pulled again and used in the manner that you did the prior year, 24, I guess, it probably would make our job a little bit easier when it comes to the Chamber of Commerce requests, particularly. Just throwing that out there.
That was a big stumbling.
That was one of the ways during the discussion last year that the committee determined to cut down to come in at budget for what was being allocated.
Correct.
By cutting back a lot of those 4th of July celebration asks, because they were big chunks of money.
Yeah.
If we keep it to the shoulder season, we can avoid that whole problem.
Yeah. Just a note.
I can raise the shoulder season question to the board as well. But I hear a request at the board discussion of setting the values to ask the board to discuss if they wish to carve out the 4th of July as a separate item and set aside a competitive money. Somebody said the chambers. There was a conversation years ago about chamber funding was a single pool of funding, rather than competing with events. The chambers were given a pool of funding. And then we've had discussions in the past as a board about whether we want to ask a cap. Your proposal shall not exceed 50,000, 30,000, whatever the number is.
That was a big issue. I mean, I don't know, boy. I kind of shuddered at it last year because of the issues we had, the big problems we had with the money.
So are you asking the board to consider, we can't tell the board what to do, but we can, you're asking the board to consider whether to include caps. So I have 1, 2, 3, thought I heard a fourth question for the board. Shoulder season.
I remember.
I think that could be problematic, putting a cap on chamber asks, just because the chambers are the economic engine of this particular fund.
The chambers were given were competing in a separate pool last year, correct?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So the discussion on the caps was, the discussion on the caps could apply to all or could simply apply to tourism event and festival or some of the others. It's a question for the board. So
I can say this. You're saying this board or the commission?
You're not a board. We're a committee.
Right.
Yeah.
For the Board of County Commissioners, yes.
Yeah, I spoke with Melanie during this committee meeting last year and told her that we felt, we being the tourism committee in South Whidbey, that the 40% cap was a mistake. And I still feel that it's a mistake.
That was your opinion.
Because you are restricting the engine of this fund.
Okay. That's public input that can always go back to the Board of County Commissioners of whether there's a 40% cap or not. They can revisit that.
Yeah, it seemed to have been arbitrary. There was no economic impact attached to it. There was no study attached to it. It was just arbitrary.
It was not the opinion of the committee.
As
it was the opinion of Tom.
Well, of South Whidbey. He said he was talking about South Whidbey felt constrained by that.
Right. And he brought that up in the meeting, but the majority of the committee felt that that was a good idea.
Okay. Well, it's all input to share back to the board. And of course, with Commissioner Bacon there, she'll have her reminder on there. Tom, Michael, you had
something? When the whole thing with the fireworks came up last year, it was difficult because I knew there were going to be repercussions in the community and so forth. And my feeling was, it's like we were somehow forced to make that decision. And I think what I had come up with in terms of a solution was to try to put the decision back on the commissioners. In other words, how do you all want to do that? And so that's what I was trying to do, to make it as fair as possible, knowing that there's going to be lack from the community to the community to the decision. So if you all decide ahead of time, if you're going to do that special funding for the,
if we're going to carve out for the July funding as a separate item.
We don't really get involved in that, because it felt like all of a sudden we were the ones that were going to be making that decision.
Did you, when the separate RFP went out, request for proposals for the 4th of July funding, did the LTAC committee consider those proposals, or did it just go straight to the board?
We considered them, yes.
And then it went to the board.
Right. And, okay. and we had a difference of opinion.
Of course, that's why we have a committee.
It was fine. But it just felt like the decision about whether to do it all together should have been more from the commissioners than us.
Mm. Well, yeah, I think it was. It was a commission. It was a Board of County Commissioners decision to open up 4th of July funding. It just was an after the fact decision and not made at this stage of the game.
Well,
Yeah, and that was a good decision.
Happened is you had us then deciding which one of the three was going to get the money.
Yeah.
And that was the hard part.
Yeah, I hear
that. That was the uncomfortable political situation, if you want to look at it in that sense.
And what I hear you asking me to do now is to have a proactive conversation about the 4th of July with the board as we are deciding the amounts. Does the Board of County Commissioners want to carve out the 4th of July funding as a separate line item?
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, it was a very successful program, what you did. And I would encourage you to keep it as a special program.
So that will be a Board of County Commissioners decision. And I have it in the notes for us to bring up when it comes to work session. You're going to have to remind me, because between now and May, when we start discussing these, she's got me. I think it's a good suggestion to think about it in advance. Paul, you've been trying to say something.
Yes, just another comment. I don't want to belabor it about the chamber requests last year, in addition to this whole 4th of July discussion. Was it one of the challenges I think some of us had was that with some of the chambers, there were a great deal of dollars in their requests for bricks and mortar, you know, for support of their office facilities and staff. And it had almost nothing to do, except indirectly, with promoting tourism. It wasn't money for events. It wasn't money for technology to support events. It was, I have to maintain a chamber office. And I think some of us struggled with that because their requests were so large. And as we begin to look at shaving them down, that certainly stuck in my mind as problematic. So I throw it out there as just something to think about.
So what I hear you say, just to make sure I'm writing it down correctly, I hear you say that that when someone's applying for these funds and they're a large percent of the budget is going to the indirect cost of supporting facility, the bricks and mortar of the facility versus tourism promotion, you at least had a problem with that in the proposals.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that as we go forward and the amount of money either stays stagnant or goes down for any reason, and these requests keep going up, we're going to have to find logical reasons why we're cutting them back in order to support the real mission, which is supporting tourism. Does that make sense?
It does. And I hope that at a minimum, you all recognize that part of why you have a spread of points in your applications is to address concerns like that in your own individual scoring process.
Because I know last year there were several zeros.
Yes.
Yeah, remember that, Paul?
And I think that's why we have a committee that's broad-based and why we create scoring so that your scoring can reflect that. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question, Paul?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you, Commissioner.
Now I lost my train of thought. It's been derailed. tourism promotion, bricks and mortar, chambers. Okay. I don't remember. It's okay.
Well, one of the things I think too that we found, don't you think, Paul, that when we looked at the chambers, that they had communities within that they had communities committees in their chamber that they should be promoting themselves and not asking us for all this, like the building situation we ran into.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing, yeah.
It's almost like they didn't ask their community to help.
Mm-hmm. Well, right.
It's important to note in your knowledge of this that those chambers that live in incorporated towns or cities can receive funding from the city of Oak Harbor as well. So there's this heads and beds tax is more than the county. It also includes funding that the unincorporated towns and cities choose their city council chooses how to use.
And I think Oak Harbor, Commissioner, did a good job in their request, the chamber, because they didn't ask for as much, recognizing the fact that they were getting money from their city and their business district, I think it was, or some one of them was. But I mean, there was a little more reasonable, I think, as a result of that.
4 years ago, the board had a conversation. This was when Commissioner Price Johnson was still on the board for, so maybe five, I don't remember. And there was a discussion about chambers by district, and so that it was fairly distributed for tourism promotion by district. We never made a decision about that. And in part, the Oak Harbor is an example of why we've never fallen in one place, because they do get that other funding. But in order, because our districts are divided by population areas, right? Mm-hmm. Each of us represents roughly one third of the population. That was a conversation that happened several years ago about chamber support. It was also a time when we had conversation about specific support, such as San Juan County, the Whale Museum has the same amount of support every year that they can depend upon. So there are this heads and beds tax was set by the legislature, but it did allow local flexibility in how it got distributed, and then it added capital in recent years. I think that was a fairly recent change. Any other questions, comments, good of the order?
No, thank you very much for your help.
Yeah, thank you. Our next meeting will probably be in June, following the, and maybe we'll try to do the training. We'll bring on board, we'll see if we can fill the vacant spot that Layla was working with Commissioner Bacon on, that was previously filled by Robin. Can anybody remind me of Robin's last name? I've spent like an hour the other day trying to remember her last name, including Googling Fort Casey Robin. I cannot. Does anybody remember her last name? She was really an asset. Okay. I'll just have to stay up tonight trying to think of it again. And then Tom, thank you for being respectful of our need for quorum. We will continue to seek to find a recipient of the tax.
Thank you.
Your service. Thank you, everybody. With that, we're adjourned.
Thank you.